Okay. All right. Let's get moving then. Going back to the Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan on Samaches Amid Beis, because we only read Rav, we didn't read Rabbi Yochanan. The position established by Rav is that if Malika is done by a Zar, the Malika is entirely Apostle, and this is now Tamei Tumas Nevela, which is another case of Psulo Bakodesh. But because it's as though it's not even called a Malika, that's why it's no good. So we read through the Gemara already on it yesterday. If you take a look at the sheet, you'll see I gave you a little table to read through on the different analogies we try to make for the Karban Oaf. And Malika requiring a Kohen. We wanted to know whether Malika of a Karban Oaf requires a Kohen in the first place. And our initial statement, Rav said, is that it does, and it becomes an Avela if you didn't do it, right? And the Gemara asked, why is that? Why should it be possible? There are cases where Zar can do something; he can do Shechita. So our answer was, well, Shechita doesn't really qualify as an Avoda, right? That was Rav's position. To which we challenged that and said, well, wait a minute, Shechita for the Para Aduma requires a Kohen, right? So therefore the Karban Oaf should also require a Kohen. So we said, no, Paradum is different because it's Bedek HaBayis. So then we challenged and said, well, wait a minute, Negoim requires a Kohen. But that's also not Mizbeach. I wrote Bedek HaBayis on the table, I shouldn't really write that. The point is, it's not Kodshim Mizbeach is really what we mean. So therefore that's not qualified either. So then we said, well, what about Bama? Bama doesn't require a Kohen. And Bama is Kachim is back. We said, well, Bama is a whole different story altogether. You can't prove anything from Bama. The upshot is, Rav says that for Malika you require a Kohen, and that brings us to Rabbi Yochanan, and that's where we pick up in the Gemara. 8 lines up from the bottom, on Samaches Amid Beis. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Zar Ein Metameya Beis Hablia. Rabbi Yochanan says, if a non-Kohen does Malika, then the animal is not, the bird, I should say, is not a nevela. Even though this isn't what you're supposed to do, it's not called a nevela. Whereas sakin, if he uses a knife, mitamei beis hablia, then in fact does have tumas nevela. Rashi says, if you see Rashi 6 lines up from the bottom, sakin mitamei delo malika velo shechita hi, which supports me, Yaakov, on my position on psula bakodesh that we were talking about before. It's not called shechita in the first place, and it's not called malika in the first place if he used a knife. But the point for us is his position on a czar. He's Malika by a czar, is not going to communicate Tuma Abes Hablia. That's the idea. So the Gemara now brings two challenges to Rav's position. Rav says Malika by a czar renders the bird a nevela. So our first challenge comes from our Mishnah, Tanan. Kol ha-psulin shemalku, malikasan psula. We said if someone is pasul and he does malika, his malika is entirely disqualified. Ostensibly that means the bird should become a nevela. So he says, bishlam ala Rabbi Yochanan kol ala asuye zar. If you take Rabbi Yochanan's position, then I understand what you meant when you said kol ha-psulin. What did you mean to include? All who are disqualified, even a zar. And the answer is, it's pasul and the bird is a nevela. It's going to communicate tuma. That would be the idea. Elal Rav, kol ala suye mai. But according to, I'm sorry, no. According to Rabbi Yochanan, kol ala suye zar comes to include a zar, but to say that the malika is possible, but it's not going to be metame. Right? That was the full line. I made a mistake of not quoting the full line because the Gemara didn't quote the full line. The line they're quoting from our Mishnah says, Kol ha-psulin shemalko malikasam psula, the malika is no good, but it's not going to communicate tuma. So that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Because I'll say, that includes the czar, and it's not going to communicate tuma. Elo l'rav, kol ha-suye mai. But according to Rav, what was included in kol? If you see the table on the two challenges to Rav, that's our question. When it says, kol shepsula bakodesh eno metame, but it's possible, what are we talking about? Lav la-suye smol valayla. And he says, you can't tell me that it's there to include left hand, if he uses his left hand, or to include Malika done at night, because Smol V'Layla Behedik Sani, they were stated explicitly in the Mishnah. So he says, yeah, but Tani Vahadir Mefarish. We saw this also back in on Daf Chaf. They had a similar answer. The Mishnah sometimes will give you a rule and then explain the cases that are subject to the rule. Even though at other times we ask, well, that's redundant. In this case, this is apparently a method. Right? It's like in computer programming. Sometimes it's not a bug, it's a feature. That's what we're saying here. This isn't a bug in the Mishnah. This is actually what the way it's meant to be. So that's the idea. So if you look at your chart, you see, according to Rav, Kola Psula and Likasan Psula is talking about small Valaila, whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, it means to include the Zar. We're not done, though, with Rav. We have a second challenge to Rav. Tashima, come in here, Zea Klal. We also said in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, Kol Shai Psulo Bakodesh, if the Psula came when it was already Kodesh, Einu Metame Begadim Abeis Habliya, it will not communicate Tuma. So Bishlam Ala Rabbi Yochanan, Kola Zuyeh, Zar. Rabbi Yochanan will say, yeah, that means to include the Zar. Ela l'Rav l'asuyemai, but according to Rav, what is it including? To which the Gemara said, well, wait a minute. V'litameich, but according to you, the end of that line says, kol shaloya psula bakodesh. If the psul came before it was in the Kodesh. Right, then is metame, la suyemai. So what does that come to include? That's Rav's challenge back to you. Ella, rather, he says, it's a two-part piece. Ella reisha la asuyeh shchitas kachim bifnim, seif la asuyeh malikas chulin b'chutz. He says, you have to read this whole line as a single statement that deals with the two sides of the same case. When it said, if the psul is in the Kodesh, it will not communicate Tuma, that's talking about if you shecht it, instead of doing Malika, a bird that was a karban, you did Shechita instead of Malika inside the Beis HaMikdash. That, he says, is the first part. And then the second part, that if the psul is Bakodesh, it's Metame, that's talking about where you did Malika, but it was Chulin. And you did it outside the Beis HaMikdash. You did Malika outside the Beis HaMikdash. We came to, the word kol meant to include that, and to say that it will communicate Tumah. So according to Rav, the opening line in our Mishnah, the one which was in the parentheses, meant to say, small valayla is not metame, right? Will not communicate Tumah. And has nothing to do with the Zar. And he's answered the end of our Mishnah as well. According to Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, the opening line in our Mishnah meant to include Zar. That's also included in the first part of the closing line of our Mishnah. It was talking about the Zar, and he is not Metame. And then as far as Kol Shalaya Psula Bakodesh Metame, he'll fundamentally agree with Rav, I think, that it's Malika Schulin Bachutz. On the last line, that part he'll agree with. Tanya,
why do you need two things in the Mishnah, beginning and the end?
Yes, I was wondering about that also. I think the answer has to be, because the opening part is an introduction, and it's not a zaklal, and his zaklal, he means to recap and convey to me the overall rules.
According to Rav, can't say it means small and lila?
According to Rav, the opening part can't be small and lila unless you accept Tani Vahadir Mefarish.
Right.
Unless you accept Tani Vahadir Mefarish.
The end part, why can't we say small and lila?
Because now it's giving me a wrap-up, but it wouldn't work as Tani Vahadir Mefarish.
Right? Mefarish in the Mishnah.
Yeah. So I think that's the way to read it. I'm pretty sure of that, but that seems to be the way that Rav would take this. Okay.
Rav, why doesn't the Mishnah mention Shechita at all?
The Mishnah does, according to Rav, it does. Shechitas. Oh, you mean why we didn't say it explicitly? Because
yeah.
We're dealing with Psula Malika, right? So therefore, it doesn't need to go there.
But he gave two examples, which is Malika Shmuel and Malika, but he didn't bother giving an example of Shechitas.
Right, because the Mishnah was really a Malika Mishnah. I think that's why, and it's only when he gets to the Zaklal that he wants to expand. For anyone who's looking at the Kinim sheet that I also gave at the entrance, don't bother. It's a great sheet in color. I tested it out with somebody, and it worked wonderfully, and I can email it to you, and you'll have it in color, but when I printed it on my printer, it's a black and white printer, it didn't even differentiate in texture. So, sorry, it's a waste of paper, but use it as a bookmark. But if you email me, I'll email it to you, and you'll see. It's a very good explanation in color. Okay, weiter. Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan, the Brisa is supporting the view of Rabbi Yochanan that if a Zar does Malika, the bird is Tar. Malka Zar, Malka Pasul. Okay, if the Malika was done by a Zar or by a disqualified Kohen, or for that matter, a Pigul Vanosev Atame, our favorite set of three disqualifications, Ein Metamina Beis Habliya, it will not communicate to Tuma, it will not be rendered a full Nevela. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak now says, Shamati Shtayim. I've heard two things. Achas Kemitza Zazar, Achas Malika Zazar. One regarding Kemitza done by Azar, and the other Malika done by Azar. Achas Terid, Achas Lo Terid. I know with one of them, if it goes on the Mizbeach, you take it down, and with the other one, you don't. Velo Yadana, but I don't know which one is which. Okay, so one of them comes off the Mizbeach. So help me solve my problem here of which one is which. So we have to compare the two avodos. So Amar Chizkiah says, Mistabra Kemitza Terid Malika Lo Terid. If you ask me, it makes sense to say that the Kemitza done by Azar, pull it off the Mizbeach. Malika not. So the verse is why? Maishna Malika, what's unique about Malika? Why should Malika be any different? The Yeshna of Abama? You'll tell me what, because you can do Malika on Abama. Therefore, and not just on Abama, but you could do Malika on Abama with a czar. That's really the point. The non-Kohen can do it on it. Rashi tells you that. The Yeshna of Abama bizarre. So therefore it's less serious if a czar does it. Kamitsanam Yeshna of Abama. The same thing is true if you bring a mincha on Abama. Vechitema ain mincha Abama, and if you'll tell me that no, Abama doesn't. You can't do a mincha on a bama. Ain't over nami b'bama. I'll tell you that anybody who believes you can't bring a mincha also believes you can't bring an oaf. The two go hand in hand. No flour, no birds. Damar of Sheshes, as Sheshes says, Ledivrei ha'omer yesh mincha b'bama. According to the view that you can bring a mincha on a bama, on an outside mizbeach, yesh ofos b'bama, you bring birds too. Ledivrei ha'omer ain mincha, and according to the view that there is no mincha, ain ofos, there are no birds. My time, where do you get this whole discussion from? Zivachim, the Torah says, you can bring your zivachim on the bama. Rashi brings you the pasuk, v'yizbechu zivachim shalamim, when they brought at her we'll see it not in Yisro, but in Mishpatim. So Zivachim means velo menachos, to exclude menachos, which we take to mean flour as well as minchas nesachim for that matter. Zivachim velo ofos, and not birds. So therefore the two go hand in hand. So your criterion for distinguishing between Malika and Kemitza based on Bama doesn't work. So then what's your answer? Ela ema ein kiddush b'klei shareis b'mincha b'bama. He says when you both can go on a bama without a kohen. However, the kemitza doesn't have klei shareis. Rashi explains at the top of the thin lines, hilchach lo yalfinan zar b'mikdash le'inyan kemitza mizar b'bama. Therefore, if a zar does it in the Beis HaMikdash, does kemitza in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't deduce it from the law of a zar doing kemitza on a bama. The two are not analogous. Delo dami hach Kemitza lahach kemitza. The two kemitzas are not similar. De b'mikdash, how of the kitcha b'klisharis is la bizarre. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you do your kemitza, you're taking your kemitza and handling it with a klisharis, right? It comes out of a klisharis, right? So therefore, it can't be done by a czar. Whereas kemitza on a bama may be done by a czar because there's no klisharis involved. So therefore, the fact that a czar can do it on a bama doesn't mean a czar can do it in the Beis HaMikdash. And if he does, teirid, you pull it off the Mizbeach. Whereas Malika, I'm willing to learn from the bama. Malika by a bama doesn't require a kohen. Malika in the Beis HaMikdash, while l'chatchila requires a kohen, if a non-kohen did it and it went on the Mizbeach, lo teirid. That's the idea. Okay. So what we've established then is that this lesson that Rabbi Yitzchak said really referred to Kemitza. Kemitza, if a czar does it, pull it off the Mizbeach. Malika, if a czar does it, do not pull it off of the Mizbeach. Why? Because he can do it, because a non-Kohen can do it on a bama. We move on now to issues of Tumas Nevela for an improper Malika. Malak Bismol Oba Laila, the Malika was done with his left hand, the Malika was done at night, and our discussion about whether it communicates Tumas Nevela or not. So, Tana Rabbanan, here's a Braisa. Yachol Tehei Malika Shehi Lifnim Mitama Begadim Bebeis Habliya. I might think, here's our first part, I might think that if Malika is done properly, it's a Kudshim bird in the Beis HaMikdash, the result is that the bird is going to communicate Tuma. For a proper Malika, you know, you read this and expect, well, where's the psul? What'd you do wrong? Does Lefnim mean Hechel? No. This is a good Malika. Right. It's not Shechita, therefore it should communicate Tuma. So that's what I might think, because it's not Shechita. Tamad Lomar Nevela. If you take a look on your sheet, did I bring you the Pasuk? Yes. The Pasuk there of Vayikra 17:15. You see that Pasuk? That's going to be important for the rest of this Gemara. Vivachol Navash Asher Tochal Nevela Utrefaba Azrachu Vager Vachibes Vagadav Rachaz Vamayim Vatamayra Nevera Bitaher. You see that pasuk? So the keywords are Nevela Utrefa. Everything we do is going to revolve around those words. So he says, the pasuk says, if someone eats Nevela, he becomes Tameh. This bird is not a Nevela. To which he said, well, why isn't it a Nevela? It didn't undergo Shechita. Hanami Nevela he. Guess what? This is a Nevela too. As Rashi says, Nehi dohutra malikas chatas ha'of lekoanim migzeras hakasov milochol chatasam kedaminim aperk beishamai. He says, granted that malika of a chatas ha'of permits koanim to eat it, that's a special pasuk that teaches me that. But ola, shelo hutralam, a karban ola, you do malika on that, that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, right? So there, no one's allowed to eat it. Tatamik bebeis habliyah. We should say that, in fact, it communicates tumah if someone does eat it. Ela tamalomar terefa. He says, fine. Don't deduce from the word nevela. Deduce instead from the word trefa. That's really what you want to deduce it from. What do you mean? As follows. Ma trefa she'ein materes es ha'isur. Of kol she'ein materes es ha'isur. A trefa is a bird which is not going to become permitted. Even if you shecht the trefa properly, ultimately it's still usur. No one gets to eat it. Right? So too, anything that doesn't permit an isur, yatsa malika, so he argues malika is different. This is now why it doesn't become tame. Shehi lifnim, it's done in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning it's done properly, ha'olvi matera says, ha'isur, it does permit an isur, specifically for me to put it on the Mizbeach. Ein metame, or to eat it if it's a chatas, ein metame begadim beis habliya, it will not communicate tuma. Hevi amolek kadshim bachutz umolek chulin bein mi bachutz. As opposed to if you do your malika on kadshim outside the beis hamikdash, so now it doesn't permit any yisur. Or if you do malika on chulin, no matter where you are, halve matimin esa yisur metame begadim beis habliya. Now it will in fact communicate tuma. So the idea is that malika that permits an isser, that will be acceptable and will not render the karban a tame. If you take a look at your sheet at the table on shechita versus malika of a karban oaf, I forgot how to write oaf in English, that doesn't look like of. But if you look at the malika side, the rule is malika of kachim inside. We just demonstrated in the Gemara in the first part when I wrote there 69a dash capital A. That's because this is the first discussion that the Gemara is going to have here. The question of a proper malika's oaf. So there we say it's tahor. For all the other ones, it is going to be tameh. Malika of chulin, no matter where you are, is tameh. It's logical. Right? And we just spelled it out anyway in our discussion. And Malika of the Kachim outside, we already said in the Mishnah, is going to be possible as well, because it's not just possible, but it will become Tameh. So Malika, Kachim inside, Tahor, any other Malika, whether Chulin or whether Kachim outside, is going to be Tameh. Good. That's the first part of our Gemara's discussion. The second part of our Gemara's discussion is the question of what happens if I shecht birds. Okay? Shechting a bird that is chulin, inside or outside the Beis HaMikdash, and shechting kachim, inside or outside the Beis HaMikdash. Shechting a bird that is chulin outside the Beis HaMikdash is obviously tahor. That's normal. That's what we do. You buy them in the supermarket. The question is really about the others. So Tanya Idach, Braisa further. Yachol tehei shchitas chulin lefnim v'kachim bein mi befnim ubein mi bachutz mitama abeis habliya. I might think that if you shecht a bird that's kodesh outside the Beis HaMikdash or inside the Beis HaMikdash, or if I shecht chulin inside the Beis HaMikdash, it would communicate tumah. The Gemara is going to go through three phases to answer this. Phase one, tamad lomar nevela. No, the Torah says nevela, only a nevela. This is not called a nevela because you did shechita. To which the Gemara says hanami nevela, but it's still a nevela. If you see Rashi, across in Rashi, and a little bit down, hanami nevela, mi yemar delav nevela. Who can say it's not a nevela? Ho'ol u'shechita bifnim ba'of lo shaycha. Right? There's no such thing as shechting a karban. Shechting a karban oaf. You don't do that. V'chein bekachim bein bifnim bein b'chutz. And I'm sorry, that's a chulin case. There's no such thing as shechting chulin inside the Beis HaMikdash, and there's no such thing as shechting an oaf that's kachim, whether you're inside or outside. So therefore, he says, your nevela exclusion doesn't work. Ella tamad lomar treifa. So I'll take it from the word treifa. That's the Gemara's second approach, to which he says, no, ma treifa shava bifnim kibachutz, af kol shava bifnim kibachutz. It's not really a no, but it's a deduction from treifa. Just like treifa shava bifnim kibachutz, when you're dealing with a treifa, it's the same inside and outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? If I shech the treifa, it's still not going to be allowed. I'm still not going to be allowed to eat it. It still has the law of a treifa. As Rashi says, dekan v'kan hi asura. The treifa is asur either way. Av kol shavos bifnim kebachutz. The same thing is true. In general, you want to know where tumah is going to apply? Only if it's a disqualification that's the same inside and outside the Beis HaMikdash. Yatza shchitas chulin bifnim. That excludes shechting chulin inside the Beis HaMikdash, because if you shecht it outside, it's not tameh. The kachim mibifnim, bein mibifnim, bein mibachutz, as well as excluding kachim inside or outside, ha'ol v'lo shavu bifnim kebachutz, since they're not the same inside and outside, ein mitamin begadim ha'beis ha'bliya. Hang on, one question, one line, because I know your question, the Gemara's going to ask it. The ein mitamin begadim ha'beis ha'bliya. It's not going to communicate tumah. So he says, the reason the Torah says treif, but not the reason, but the facet of the fact that the Torah says treifa is, it's tamei if it's disqualified in both places. So malika outside will not render tumah, because malika inside does not render tumah. So then the Gemara says the same thing is true regarding if you shecht the bird that's kachim. So Yaakov asks, I think this is the question you're about to ask, it is going to disqualify it inside.
Different or the same?
Yeah. Our assumption is that difference means that it's either qualified or disqualified. That's what it sounds like. So the Gemara asks, Bishlama chulin lo shavu bifnim kebachutz. You're right when you're dealing with chulin. You shech chulin outside, it's fine. You shech chulin inside, it's not fine. Ela kachim idi v'idi psulininu. But kachim are disqualified either way.
If they're shechted.
Assuming that you shechted. Thank you. If you do malika inside, it's not disqualified. So therefore, Rava needs to give me a third approach. Amar Rava, remember our first approach to this was to use the word nevela, right? But we said nevela doesn't help, because they are nevela. Nevela doesn't exclude anything. So our second approach is to use the word treifa. But it didn't fit the rules that we know, because if I use the word treifa, then if I shech the birds that are kachim, whether inside or outside, it should be tamei, and that's not the rule. So he says, Amar Rava. So Rava gives me a third approach. Im ho'ila lo shchitas chutz l'chayvo kares lo soya lo l'tara midei nevela. He says, shechting a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash counts as shchita, in the sense that a person who does it wins the prize. He gets kares. If you shecht a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Well, if it's good enough to be shchita, in the sense that you're going to get him kares for an act of shchita, then it's good enough that it's no longer a nevela. That's Rava's argument. If you see Rashi, Amar Rava, the first of the widest lines, Shchitas Pnim Dechulin Hu Denafkalan Mehach Drasha. What I use that drasha for, this drasha of Nevela, Trefa, and all that, is the disqualification of Shchita inside the Beis HaMikdash. Aval Kadshim, I'm sorry, not the disqualification, the fact that it's tahor. Aval kachim lo tzarich lemelef mina, but I don't need the drasha for kachim. Dimamela nafgalan dil mitmi uofos kachim shchutim b'chutz. I know that logically. The im ho'ila shchitas chutz lechayvo alav kares mishum shchutei chutz, because if the shchita is good enough to say he's getting kares for shechting outside the Beis HaMikdash, kidim abina leba perak ashochei v'amala, as we'll see in the Gemara later in Zvachim, me'o asher yishchat l'rabo shchitas ha'of, alma shchita hishma, we see that it's called shchita. That's his argument. That's what he suggests. So the Gemara says, well, Ashkechon chutz pnim menalan. Okay, that's fine as far as a bird you shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. What about a bird you shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash? Hol v'lo shavu bifnim kebachutz. Well, they're not the same inside and outside, and therefore I'm not going to deduce from the word treifa. And therefore it'll be tahor. In that case, if I do malika of a bird outside the Beis HaMikdash, it also shouldn't be tameh, because it's not the same inside and outside. It should in fact be tahor. Amar Simi Barashi. Simi Barashi says no. That doesn't work. Why? Done in davar shelo behechshero, mi davar shelo behechshero. Vein done in davar shelo behechshero, mi davar shelo behechshero. He says we can deduce from two things that are analogous. In both situations, if in both situations the carbon is not valid, okay, I did a malika inside, I did a malika outside, I'm sorry, no, I did a shechita inside, I did a shechita outside, and it's a kachim bird, it was never supposed to be shechted. So those two are analogous, and I can say, fine, that there's no tumah, that it's tahor. However, malika done inside the Beis HaMikdash is kasher. Malika done outside the Beis HaMikdash is not kosher. So he says, don't try to draw any analogies from inside to outside, or from outside to inside, for that matter. To which he says, really, we deduce from bama, where a zar can do something, to regular karbanos from malika. We just did this before. How do you know that if a carbon left the Beis HaMikdash and then came back in and was brought on the Mizbeach, you don't bring it down? Because by bama you can do it even though you're outside the Beis HaMikdash. Tana azos taras ha'ola riba samach le. Yeah, but there was based on a specific hekesh from a pasuk from the word zos taras ha'ola. So that's unique. The upshot is that if you do shechita of a bird carbon and or bird chulin, no matter where you are, it's tahor. If you do malika properly, it's tahor. You do malika in any other way, malika of chulin or malika of kachim outside, it's going to be tame. New Mishnah. Malak v'nimtzeis treifa. Let's say you did malika on the bird and then it turns out it was a treifa. Rabbi Meir Omer eino matame bebeis habaliyah. So Rabbi Meir says, tahor, no tuma, even though obviously it's a treifa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mitame, meaning matame bebeis habaliyah, they throw in the margin. Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to communicate tuma. Those are two views already. Rabbi Meir says, tahor. Rabbi Yehuda says, tame. Amar Rabbi Meir Kalvachomer. Rabbi Meir says, "Look, it's logical. Im nevelas behema shemitama b'magu v'masa shchitasa mitaheres treifasa mitumasa. When you're dealing with a nevela that communicates tuma, a heavy tuma, tumas maga, tumas masa, the shchita of a treifa still takes it out. Okay, so if the animal was a nevela, had the treifa gone and died, it would have had a heavy tuma, but shchita when it's a treifa cancels that out." Nivlas ha'of she'eno mitame b'maga uvamasa. The nevela of a bird has lightweight tuma. It doesn't have tumas maga. It doesn't have tumas masa. Tuma from contact and from carrying. Eino din shidei shchita so mitaheres treifa so mitumasa. Certainly, shechting the bird should remove that level of tuma. Umama tzinu b'shchita shehi machsharta la'achilo mitaheres treifa so mitumasa. And just like shchita can do that, remove the tuma from the treifa, af malika so shimachsharto ba'achila tetar treifa so midumas mitu midei tumaso. Malika should also work. Just like shchita permits eating, malika permits eating. Just like shchita removes the tuma of a treifa, so too malika removes the tuma of a treifa. Rashi back on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph has to deal with the problem that this seems to be a mematzinu building on a kavachomer. We really shouldn't be able to do that. So Rashi clarifies it back under Nalef, but at this point we're in the 2-minute offense. So we're gonna. I'll tell you to go back and look at Rashi Achi Garcia and back under Nalef.
Is it of all tuma or is it only maga masa?
That's good enough for our purposes. But oh, you mean the conclusion all tuma?
No,
the conclusion is all tuma.
Then a nevela that was shechted that doesn't have tuma at all.
No, a treifa. No, because it's not a nevela. A treifa that underwent shechita removes the tuma. That's correct. Yes. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir has said, let's make sure we understand the Kavachomer, it's important. Shechita works for a behemoth that's a treifa, therefore shechita works for a bird that's a treifa. And just like shechita works for a bird that's a treifa, so too malika works for a bird that's a treifa. To which Rabbi Yossi calls the dio flag. He says, wait a minute, what are you doing? You can't do that, right? No, dio! Right? Remember the dio principle limiting a Kavachomer? If we say this, here's my Kavachomer. A can lift 100 pounds. B is stronger than A. Therefore, I know B can lift at least 100 pounds. I can't say B can lift 150 pounds because I don't know how much stronger he is than A. Dayo Labamin Adin Leos Kenidon teaches me that if I don't know scale, I don't know how much stronger B is than A, all I can say is that he's at least as strong as A is. That's all I can do. The same thing is true here. Shechita works to be metaher a behema treifa, so too shechita works to be metaher an oaf treifa. But don't tell me that malika will also work. That's a foul. You can't do that. I have all this sports terminology today. I don't know where this came from. You can't do that. Yeah, it's still his answer will be it's a binyanav. Correct, and that's the Gemara's answer. But Rabbi Yossi says daya. Rabbi Yossi Amar daya kenivlas behema. It's sufficient to equate it to nivlas behema shechita sa mitaharta v'lo malikas. Masa. Only Shechita works. That's Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, didn't Rabbi Meir know that rule? Rabbi Meir lo darish dayo? Is he unfamiliar with the dayo concept? Vadayo daraiso. It's a daraiso principle. Desanya, it's from Parshas Balos. It's called the story with Miriam. Desanya, bidin kal v'chomer ketzad. How do you work with kal v'chomers? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Ve'avila yarok yarok b'fonah. Halo si kalim shivas yamim. Remember that Aaron, this whole story wouldn't have to go through. Miriam gets saras, and Moshe pleads for it to be reduced. And Hashem says to Moshe, had her father spat in her face, she would be embarrassed for 7 days. I yelled at her, I rebuked her, 14 days outside the camp. That's what should happen to her. I'm sorry, no. He says she should be out for 7 days. So the Gemara asks, shouldn't she be out for 14 days? Hashem did it to her. Shouldn't she be out for 14 days? Where did you get 14 from? So Tosfos has two suggestions. Either because Hashem contributes double what the parents contribute in the creation of a child, based on a Gemara Nida, or the other option is that it's because it's a double hesker. Right? One Hesker is 7 days, double Hesker is 14 days. It's really 13, which Tosfos discusses, but that's the idea. So she should be out for 14 days. And then Hashem says, yeah, but Dayo, okay, I'll only give her 7. Because the Kal v'chomer is from what a parent does, just like what a parent is 7 days, with Hashem also it's 7 days. Parenthetically, this raises the question of, does that mean that she that Moshe's tefillah did nothing? Because after Moshe Davin's Kelna Rafan Allah, she's still out for 7 days. So I'll have to answer that question some other time. Ask me later. But in any case, that's our Dayo principle. It should be 14 days for Hashem. So Dayo is a biblical principle. So Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Meir, Kra Ashkach V'Kadarish, or V'Darish. Rabbi Meir got it based on a pasuk. It wasn't really from the Kal v'chomer. This is his real approach. Zos Tarasa Behema V'Oaf, the Torah says, and this is the law of Behema and Oaf. We're linking Behema and Oaf, animals and birds. V'chi Be'ezo Torah Shabsa Behema La'Oaf, Oaf La'Behema. In what way are they equated? Behema Metama B'Magu V'Masa, Oaf Eino Metami B'Magu V'Masa. Their tumah is different. A nevela behema nevela has tumas maga masa. Bird does not. Oaf metame begadim beis habliya. You eat the oaf, you communicate tumah to your clothing. Behema ena metame begadim beis habliya. The behema does not. They're not equal. Ela lomar loch ma behema davar shemachshira laachila metar trefasam itumasa. Af oaf davar shemachshira baachila metar trefasam itumaso. He says, you know what the deal is. By behema, you shech to the behema. Now it's tahor. The proper thing to do for a bird carbon is malika. So therefore, Malika will make it Tahor. It's really not Shechita of an animal to Shechita of a bird to Malika of a bird. It's Shechita of an animal direct to Malika of a bird. That's the idea based on the Pasuk. Oh, good. So then what about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, my time. Why did Rabbi Yehuda then say that it was Tamei, that the bird is actually Tamei? So Rabbi Yehuda, my time. Kro Ashkach V'Darish, because he had a Pasuk, and here we walk through it. Kro Ashkach V'Darish. Nevela Terefa, that's our same Pasuk that we had before. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Trefa Lama Namra. Rabbi Yehuda says, why did the Pasuk need to say Trefa? What are you talking about? Any Trefa that dies isn't a Vela. Im Trefa Chaya, if you're talking about with a Trefa while it's alive, right? The Trefa can survive and it's while it's alive. Hare Nevela Amura, you already mentioned Nevela. The Im Trefa Eina Chaya, Harei Bechlal Nevela. And if the Trefa does not live, then it's already a Nevela. What we mean to include is a trefa that you shechted, to say that even though you shechted it, nonetheless it communicates tumah. Amar le Rav Shizbi, to which Rav Shizbi says, right? The chelav and nevela and chelav and a trefa. Hasam nami, we are equating them there too. Im trefa chaya. If you're dealing with trefa that survives, hare nevela amura, we already mentioned nevela, and when it dies, it's tamei. Im trefa einachai, if it doesn't, hare bechlal nevela, it's a nevela now. What's the equation? What do I need to say trefa for? El lahavi trefa sheshchata shechel batahor? So is it trying to tell me that if you shecht a trefa, the chelav is going to be tahor? Michlal dehi mitama? That means then that the rest of the animal is going to be tame? Is that what you're really going to say? Is that true? Now you have a problem. You've contradicted yourself. We learned in a brisa, the chiyamus min habehema, the Torah says, if an animal dies, and we say only if some animals die, mitzas behema, and then the conclusion is it communicates tumma. Mitzas behema mitama, mitzas behema eina mitama. Some animals do render tumma, some animals do not. Ve'ezozo, which is the one that does not render tumma? Zo trefa sheshachta. That's a trefa that you shecht. It's Rabbi Yehuda, following your view that nevelo trefa is meant to equate the two. And what we mean to say is that when you're dealing with a trefa, it's not going to communicate. When you're dealing with a trefa, it is going to communicate tumma. That's your position, Rabbi Yehuda. Then what do you do with this brisa that says no, it won't? Trefa sheshachta does not communicate tumma. Ella, rather, he says, all right, different approach. Trefa mibayile lemaute temeya. What trefa means to exclude is an animal from a non-kosher species. Behema temeya. Mishiyesh bemina trefa. Yatzazu shein bemina trefa. Where trefa is there to exclude a non-kosher animal, because there's no such thing as a trefa among non-kosher animals. They're just as tame before and after. They're just as aser ba'achila before and after they become a trefa. So therefore, being a trefa is irrelevant. Yes, the status of trefa doesn't matter. So, hachanami, here too, they say regarding the birds, I should use the word trefa to do the same thing. L'me'ute of tame she'en b'mino trefa, that is to exclude birds from a non-kosher species. So he says no, because here I have a different pasuk for that. Of tame, and this is what we'll conclude with. Of tame l'Rabbi Yehuda minevela nafgale. Of tame, Rabbi Yehuda says, you deduce the non-kosher bird from the word nevela. That's how I make the distinction. And I don't need the word trefa to exclude it. Why? Desanya, as the brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yachal de Nivlas of Tame Metama Begadim Beis Habliya. I might think a nevela of a non-kosher bird would communicate toma. Tama Lomer nevela u trefa lo yochal. He shall not eat nevela or trefa. Misha isuro mishum bal tochal nevela. That means specifically those birds. The rest of that pasuk is latam ava to become tame. So the only disqualification is one which would be asur because it was a nevela. The Yatzazeh, excluding this bird, she'eni suru mishum batocha nevela, mishum batocha tame. This one, it's because it's a non-kosher species. That's why it's going to be disqualified. So Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore I don't need the word, I don't need this word to exclude of tame, a bird of a non-kosher species. Therefore, it must be that my lesson is instead that the animal that I shechted, or the bird that I did malika on, that was a trefa, is still going to communicate tumma. Hi. All right. We rushed, but we made it.